Hey, I'm Ron. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I'm glad you're part of the team. Are you experiencing health at its fullest potential? Are you informed about the latest exercise and nutritional trends? I'm here to help coach you in making better choices. I am passionate about health and wellness, sports and competition, marriage and raising children. If any of these topics are appealing to you, you're in the right place. If you want to check out more content, you can always visit me at theronyoungshow.com. Or you can always email me, theronyoungshow@gmail.com. Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of the Ron Young Show podcast. I'm really happy you've tuned in, whether you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, however the heck you're listening to this right now. I really appreciate the support. If you like what you hear, send me an email, theronyoungshow@gmail.com. And certainly I would love it if you wrote a review for me on one of the many platforms. You know, any support that I can get helps me get the word out for you. And the one thing that I love to do is spread the word of health. I love breaking down the numbers, breaking down the studies, so that, let's face it, you don't have to. And you can take what I'm saying and either apply it to your life, not apply it to your life, listen, tell a friend, whatever you want to do with it. I think it's great that I can connect with you on this platform, and let's get started to this episode because it is a wonderful talk. And what I'm going to talk about is a little bit about how it's not too late to get started within your journey of health. Certainly, I have experienced that within the past. Certain clients I've had, different lifestyles they've led to bring them to a certain point, breaking point, if you will, where they knew that they needed to make different decisions. And later on in the show, I'm going to talk about five nutritional changes that add up to big results in the long haul for you. Okay? These are things that you could do today, you could do tomorrow, you could do next week if you want, but they're things that are going to add up in a big way so that it will, not weigh on you from a caloric standpoint, and you will have greater success within your diet if you apply these things to your everyday life, okay? Let's talk a little bit about where you're at in your journey right now and why it's important to start now. A lot of people think, well, you know what? I've grown up this way. This is the way I've always eaten. This is the way I've always done things. This is what I've chosen to do. And they don't often think about the repercussions of their health choices or poor health choices going forward. And what I want to bring your attention to is a little bit of a story here on a client that I had. History of carotid artery blockages within the family. For those of you who don't know, the carotid artery is the artery, the main artery that supplies your brain with blood. If you think that's an important thing, it is, because your brain needs to be drenched in blood, lots of fluids, blood needs to move in and out of it. Very important. So this gentleman here, he would come in and work out with me multiple times throughout the week. He was committed. Because as soon as he got that diagnosis, as soon as he realized that he was running into trouble, he started to make changes. And it was really admirable to look at that and to say, okay, this gentleman is taking matters into his own hands. And lo and behold, he went on a vegan diet. Now, I know what you're thinking, vegan diet, yeah, that's really tough and really difficult to adhere to, but he knew that this is one of the changes that he wanted to make. So kudos to him. And what he found was over a year, and he did eat tofurkey for Thanksgiving and many other dishes. I think he only cheated one time over the course of 365 days. But he found that as time went on, and they ordered new imaging for him, his carotid artery blockage was starting to shrink based off of plant-based diet, which is really cool. It's really cool to see and very encouraging to hear. And just knowing this, he continued that lifestyle. And year by year, that blockage continued to shrink. And it was so cool to see, so cool to hear about. And to see the motivation behind it was all the better. That's why it's never too late to start. Because this gentleman, who was 78 years old, which is awesome. To see people in that stage of life, having grandchildren, having a busy schedule, enjoying retirement to the fullest, certainly at that point. Very interesting guy. Making profound health decisions. So why can't we do this now? We're a generation where we have access to all this information and we can't make sense of it. That's one of the reasons why I launched this podcast to begin with. I want to make sure that I can break things down for you guys and make your decisions a little bit easier throughout your life. That's why today's show is really a cool, a good, refreshing kind of outlook on things, because a lot of these nutritional changes, I'm going to give you five today that I want you to work on, can be done by you relatively easy. And I'm going to give you the solution within baby steps as to how to incorporate it within your everyday life. That's what I find is the most challenging thing for people. You ask people for change, but you don't tell them how. Or you ask people for change and you expect it right away. When we make lifestyle decisions, they need to be things that we can adhere to. Things that we can work into our busy schedule. Things that aren't going to throw us off too much, but that we can simply work within our own devices to be successful. So that's why I've come up with five choices that you can make. And these are things that you can make in the drive-thru. These are choices you can make in the grocery store, or perhaps choices you can make at the dinner table. So it's very important to me that you listen to this. Take this message for what it's worth. I've done my research, and apply it to your life however you see it fit. The first nutritional change I want to give you is cream and sugar within your coffee. It needs to be reduced. Okay? I'm not going to tell you by how much, because I'm going to let you dictate that. It's going to be based on goals that you set for yourself. But this is one big area where we can really trim up and make a big change over time. I'll give you a bit of a history of my coffee intake. I grew up drinking coffee with my grandpa. He would take me to the coffee shop. It's one of those things I was intrigued about because I think it was like, I don't know, 13. And seeing my grandpa drink black coffee, it was always like, oh, I should drink black coffee. Sure enough, Tim Hortons, I started ordering black coffee because I wanted it to be cool like him. The effects of influence, eh? Black coffee was very bitter, but I acquired a taste for it. And I feel like a lot of people who drink black coffee, you know, it either takes some time or, you know, they just really are a purist in its own sense, because black coffee can be very enjoyable, but you gotta take the steps to get to it. And I swear once you do, it's pretty good. Now, I started drinking black coffee, but when I worked at the tugboats at the Goderich Harbor, the guys introduced me to this thing, and it was called a double double. And oh my goodness, it was sweet, it was creamy, it packed a punch. But I started drinking double double. And that was something that I drank for many years in my teenage years. And that, of course, that's when maybe you can afford the extra calories more, but it was something that it was almost like a treat to wake up, to have the double double and kind of go about your day. So let's break down some of the numbers for this. I thought one of the things that people may like is to see the caloric intake of coffee when you add cream and sugar to it. If you go on the Tim Hortons website, that's the one thing that I really like about Tim Hortons. I do enjoy Tim Hortons coffee, but I also like McDonald's coffee, Starbucks coffee. I don't consider myself to be a coffee snob at all. In fact, I consider myself an equal opportunist. I will have just about any coffee, and that dates back to my tugboat days as well. When Kenny McCuskey would make the coffee, you never knew how many tablespoons he was going to put into the percolator. Could have been one, which you'd have basically a swamp water type coffee. Or it could have been 15, and maybe the amount of caffeine within each cup was enough to equal 4 or 5 cups to a regular one. But either way, we learned to drink coffee as it came. It was just the thing we did, you know? But looking at the caloric intake, the one thing I really like about the Tim Hortons website is you can go on there, any food product. You can look up the nutrient breakdown, the ingredients, the calorie counts. It's really good. So kudos to Timmy's. I mean, Canadians love our Tim Hortons. And this is one spot where they go the extra mile and really break it down for you. Let's look at a small double-double. A small double-double contains 150 calories. Obviously, as the size increases, so does the caloric intake. A medium double-double comes in at 230, a large 280, and an extra large 340. What does that look like? If you drank, let's do a medium double-double. And I know everybody listening at home isn't just having medium double-doubles. Usually, if you're anything like me, you need 2 or 3 coffees throughout the day to get through. But if you drank a medium double-double every day for an entire year, okay, that would add up to 83,950 calories. And all of those calories are coming from relatively little to no nutritional value at all. It's sugar and fat, right? I mean, we're having pure sugar, and cream carries a very high fat content. So there's not very much nutritional value outside of the cream or the fat in the cream that we can get. We know, okay, from scientific evidence that it's approximately 3,500 calories that make up a pound. All right. Therefore, your coffee consumption on a medium double-double over the course of a year, let's say everything was perfect and you ate your, you know, estimated metabolic rate every day perfectly, your coffee intake with the double-double would equate to about 24 pounds on its own. 24 pounds just from coffee. It doesn't fill you up. It doesn't have fiber. You're drinking your calories, which is something that I also advise against. And it's something that is a very potent, high sugar, high fat content. So here's what I want you to do in a solution to this, because I want to offer solutions. I always like to think that I see these things very objectively and I want to look at the whole picture. But what I did after I had the double doubles, I went down to a regular coffee. That seemed to be a relatively easy switch for me. Double-double to a regular. I mean, you're cutting out one shot of sugar and one shot of milk. Then I went from a regular down to a one milk, one sugar. Then I went from a one milk, one sugar to a one cream. Because we know there's sugar, right, with lactose in the cream anyways. So I thought, let's cut the sugar. And let's go with the one cream. Then I went to a half cream. Then I went to a quarter cream. And ordering a quarter cream at Tim Hortons is very difficult because they never know what you're talking about. Do you want a quarter of the cup filled, or do you want just a half of a small shot of cream? So maybe I'd advise against that, going to that extreme, but I would always have to, in detail, describe the amount of cream I wanted. And eventually I just started ordering the cream on the side so that I can control the intake of it. But it was just enough cream to turn it from black to, you know, slightly, tan or brown or whatever it turns, really. Those were the steps that I had to take, and those were the steps that I took over the years. And now I'm proud to say that I'm back to black coffee. It wasn't overnight, but it was changes that built up in the long run. Of course, now I'm 32. So it's changes that, you know, I knew needed to happen, and I put the proper things in place to make them happen. So now I drink coffee black, and it's great, and it saves me a ton on my calories, and I enjoy it. As weird as that may sound, I actually enjoy black coffee again. I'm kind of back to it. It's full circle, isn't it? So if that's you today and you're drinking a double-double or you're drinking a regular, why not cut the cream in half or cut the sugar in half? Because they have the power. They have those machines that measure it all out for them. It's not like it's difficult for them to do that. But you just need to merely request it. Perhaps if you're drinking a double-double today, you want to consider going to a regular. Or perhaps if you're drinking a double-double, maybe baby steps are your key and you go 2 milk, 2 sugar instead of the 2 cream, 2 sugar. This is something that will add up for you overall. And like I said, if that is what you're drinking, a medium double-double every day, that would be 24 pounds on its own. Crazy. Think about reducing that, because that's a big thing. We all love our coffee. For those of you who aren't coffee drinkers, I'm sure if you tried it, gave it a fair shake, probably would be. But it's something that, you know, coffee drinkers alike need to agree, we can cut down on this. And that's one area, one decision you can make in the drive-thru tomorrow. The next tip I'm going to give is to reduce the frequency of red meat consumption. Okay, this is an important one, because red meat often has high fat content, higher cholesterol, and you know, if we eat too much of it, it can certainly bog our systems down. Okay, let's check out red meat by the numbers. Lean ground beef has 250 calories per, this is per 100 grams. 250 calories, 26 grams of protein, 15 grams of fat, and 6 grams of saturated fat. If you're eating the medium ground beef, it's 270 calories, 26 grams of protein, the exact same, 18 grams of fat, so 3 more grams of fat, and 1 more gram of saturated fat at 7 grams. If your family or you are, you know, if you're living on your own cooking for yourself, that's fine. If you eat the regular ground beef, that's 304 calories, 25 grams of protein, 22 grams of fat, and 9 of those are saturated. It's 2 extra grams of fat on saturated fat on the regular ground beef. Now let's look at the lean ground chicken, because we have 180 calories, okay? So, well, compared to lean ground beef, that's actually, what is that, quick math? I hate math, but the 70 calories difference. Protein content is pretty much the same at 23 grams, maybe a little bit less. But if you consider after a workout, you need about 20 grams. 23 grams is fine in a meal, okay? 10 grams of fat, that's the key. It's 5 grams of fat less than lean ground beef. That's 12 grams of fat less than regular ground beef. And saturated fat comes in at 3 grams. So it's half of what lean ground beef is. Okay? A third of what regular ground beef is. So that's another tip I'm going to give you today. And then a solution to this. If you're one who eats a lot of ground beef or a lot of red meat, try and limit the intake of your red meat by at least one day of the week, okay? So if you typically eat steak maybe a couple times a week and maybe have some burgers or something like that a couple times a week, try and shave one of those off the calendar, or at least substitute it with a chicken or a turkey alternative. I make a lot of great turkey burgers that we can barbecue as a family. My kids love it. It's usually a little bit of breadcrumbs, an egg. I mix in a bunch of different spices and mix all the flavors together, and it turns out really, really good. My kids love it. But it's like almost cutting everything in half, right? So it's something that if you're eating regular ground beef, why not consider the lean ground beef? So making those baby steps, making those choices within the supermarket, that yes, I'm going to commit to eating a leaner cut of meat. That's all it takes. I mean, I know it sounds like it'd be a tough adjustment for your family. And I know a lot of people are like, look, my spouse eats terribly, so I kind of am anchored to that by what I eat. You don't have to be. You can cook different things for different people, right? It's all about trying to better yourself, better your health, and overall, you'll have a better experience with eating because you'll get creative within the kitchen. Instead of the same old, you'll actually be forced to get a little bit out of your comfort zone and come up with a meal that involves ground turkey or chicken or something to that effect. So please do that. Think about that the next time you're shopping and choose a leaner cut of meat because overall, less fat content as well as less calories will equal, you know, less overall throughout the course of the year for you. The next tip I'm going to give you is less processed snack foods, okay? One thing that I talked with a friend about is like, we are almost a society where it's like, we don't eat food anymore. We eat food-like products. And this is one thing I'm very passionate about. We eat food-like products, food-like substances, because no longer are we actually eating the food that's intended. We're like now beyond meat, and this is the thing to do because it's so heavily processed, so heavily refined. We need to get back to eating good, whole foods. And I read somewhere, I just forget where, but it was like, real foods don't have an ingredient list. Because simply they are the ingredient. You know what I mean? There's a reason apples, peppers, things like that, they don't have ingredient lists because it's just like one thing. And they were grown from the earth. It's not processed. It's not packaged. It's not like loaded with salt and preservatives to keep it good. No. It's just a food. And that's one thing that we're getting away from. Because we love packaged goods. We love convenience. As a society, convenience really beats out a lot of things. But we need to get away from that mentality. If you look overseas at the Italian model, at the European model, the Mediterranean diets, these people spend hours, 2 to 3 hours eating. They have conversation around the table. They eat, you know, better ingredients, better foods, salads. They mix them together. They throw in different spices and ingredients. And they have a lot of fun doing that. Food's no longer an experience for us. It's just a means to an end, really. It's, I'm hungry. I need to eat now. What do I like? Or what's most convenient for me? Get in my stomach. That's what we tend to trend to nowadays. For some people, I don't blame them because we have big families or busy schedules, but still, that's not a great excuse when you want to make good health choices. We are fueled by what we eat, and whatever we eat and is going inside our body gets broken down through metabolism, and we will either use those nutrients or maybe store them for later. But overall, if it's bad stuff, if it's like, you know, tons of salts and different things like that, and the ingredient list is as long as a, you know, novel, then it's not doing you any good. You won't feel full from it. And there's actually been studies. So if I dig into one of those studies, there was one from the NIH Clinical Center. And they the sample size was small. Okay, so maybe not the best sample size, but it was continuous for about a month. And it was randomized order. They had good controls in place for this study. And what it was they provided meals for individuals that had ultra-processed foods or they had meals of minimally processed foods. So an example of an ultra-processed breakfast might consist of a bagel with cream cheese and turkey bacon. Well, an unprocessed breakfast was like oatmeal, you know, stuff that's like the food source itself with bananas, walnuts, skim milk. Like it was a relatively unprocessed breakfast, maybe aside from the skim milk. The ultra processed and unprocessed meals, they actually had the same calories. So they were actually given similar meals, the participants in the study, ultra processed and unprocessed. Okay. Sugar, fiber, fat, carbohydrates, all very similar. The participants could then eat as much or as little as they wanted, okay? That's the biggest factor within this study. On the ultra-processed diet, people actually ate about 500 calories more per day than on the unprocessed diet. 500 calories more per day. That's crazy. If I told you back earlier in the show that 1 pound equated to 3,500 calories, okay, 500, 1,000, 150, 2,000, 250, 3,000, that's 1 week. That's a pound more, pretty well, per week. And that was on average, so some ate more. They also found that the people who had the highly ultra-processed diet ate faster. So they weren't getting as full as quickly. Okay? They gained weight as well. And what they found was that on average, they gained 2 pounds more while on the ultra-processed diet. And the other group who ate the unprocessed food actually lost 2 pounds more over the month. Isn't that crazy? Isn't it like, you know what? We're eating all of these food-like substances or foods that we think are good for us, but they're so highly processed. They're not filling us up. It's hard for our body to recognize and break them down. And they're not the actual food source that we need. Which leads me into my next point. Adding extra fruit and veggies throughout your day. We need to make sure that we are snacking. A lot of people, especially on a lot of popular diet trends right now, will go through and they'll just do the meals. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. They'll deprive themselves of carbohydrates. They'll deprive themselves of other things. They're not getting the well-balanced nutrient profile that our bodies require. And what it does is it throws our metabolism off. When we start to eat the thermic effect of food, and you can look this up on Google, it accounts for about 10% of our overall metabolism. So simply biting down on something and eating something actually gets our system going because the cells in our body are saying, hey guys, we need to start breaking these things down. And it ramps up. Small snacks are going to help you reach your nutrient profile and boost your metabolism. Okay? Add one snack per week if you can. Bridge the gaps between meals and make sure that you're getting in a lot more vegetables than what you have in the past. Let's face it, veggies give us great nutrition. They have a lot of fiber, they have decent amounts of protein, and usually things like Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower. I know I'm generalizing it a little bit when these all have different profiles, but they usually carry about 2 to 4 grams of fiber and around 4 grams of protein per serving. So even if your mid-morning snack is cauliflower with a bit of hummus, or your afternoon snack is perhaps celery with a bit of peanut butter, these are things that help bridge those gaps, help keep you from going hungry and maybe making poor decisions later, and also carry great nutrient profiles for us. Extra fruit and veggies throughout your day are going to carry you a long way, okay? That's one thing that we need to really make sure that we are focusing on, because a lot of people are very low in vegetables. Vegetables have a lot of fiber. Fiber keeps you full for longer. And it'll keep you from going to the cupboard when you get home and perhaps binge eating chips or something like that. Boost your veggies and boost your fruit content throughout your daily diet. It will help you succeed. The last tip I want to give is to cut the sauce, okay? Cooking sauces often cost hundreds of calories without you even thinking about it. And yes, they don't carry very much nutritional value at all. Please use your sauce sparingly. I'll say it, use it responsibly. And take advantage of spices, things that don't have many calories at all. Stuff that you can put in a stir fryer that you can sprinkle on your dish. They don't take up many calories at all. Let's look at some of the most popular sauces, okay? Because tomato ketchup is a very popular one. And there's actually 1 teaspoon of sugar within a tablespoon of ketchup. So even though you're enjoying a small fry, perhaps if you're eating a lot of ketchup with it, You're consuming a couple teaspoons of sugar. And where the recommended daily maximum of free sugars is 30 grams, about 7 teaspoons, you could easily eat that up within tomato ketchup. One thing I'm going to recommend for everybody is to make some of their own like salsa, because tomato ketchup is really just ground up tomatoes with a lot of sugar. If you can make more of a natural salsa with tomatoes, red onions, lime juice, different things like that, it's a very tasty ketchup swap. And it's something that can go well on a sandwich. So don't always go towards the ketchup. Maybe get a reduced sodium or a reduced sugar ketchup if that exists, and you'll be set up for success a little bit better. Another big one is mayonnaise. Each tablespoon of mayonnaise contains around 100 calories and 11 grams of fat. That's a significant chunk when you think of the daily intake of fat as usually around 70 grams. Based on a tablespoon, you're getting quite a bit of your daily intake of fat. One thing that you can do is swap it for maybe a low-fat option, or perhaps you want to add a little bit of Greek yogurt to a dish, or maybe even just plain yogurt. Something that will mix in well and will be a lower fat option for you. Many dishes like potato salad or coleslaw, even though I don't recommend those, a lower fat yogurt mixed in with some lemon juice and chopped herbs can work well, even in a replacement situation for a mayonnaise. Soy sauce, let's talk about that. A lot of salt in soy sauce, about 2.75 grams per tablespoon. That's almost half the recommended 6 gram daily maximum. Even reduced versions of that can still carry around 2 grams. So it's important to make sure you use soy sauce very sparingly, okay? It's one of those things that too much salt over too long a period of time can be linked to high blood pressure. Measure out the amounts. The one thing I can recommend is measure out the amounts of soy sauce. If it's something you need to use, you like to use, sushi, rice dishes, measure it out, because too much of that good thing can really lead you down a trail where it's a lot of sodium. Be careful. Sweet chili sauce. This is one thing that tastes great. Let's face it, I'm not going to beat around the bush on a lot of these topics. It tastes awesome, but it is around 2 teaspoons of sugar per tablespoon of sauce. Very high. These things are loaded with sugar. These V1 or VH sauces, like crazy amounts of sugar within them. When you do the stir fry, you're not measuring, you're just shaking it into the dish or shaking it in the pan and going with it. If you can make your own chili sauce, you know, red chili, couple chopped red peppers, ginger, juice of a lime, and maybe some pepper, you can still get that zip within your meal. And it's a lot of flavor without a lot of sugar. So try the chili, you know, either hot sauce or make your own chili sauce with the different spices, because you can get a little bit creative. And remember, spices carry relatively no caloric intake. The last sauce I'm going to talk about is mustard, because it's a big one for a lot of people as well. It's one of the healthier sauces, actually, because it's actually lower in fat and sugar. Sometimes it does make up a bigger salt quantity, though. A 2 gram portion is virtually salt-free, but ready-mixed versions come with more salt because it needs to preserve better on the shelf. 1 teaspoon contains about 0.5 grams of salt. 1 teaspoon of whole grain mustard contains about 0.25 grams of salt. So sometimes you just need to check your mustards. If you do enjoy the yellow prepared mustard, perhaps pick a mustard that is lower in sodium. Check the labels, check the brands, check out which ones contain more or less salt, and you will be able to make good decisions based on that. So those are the 5, guys. Those are the 5. Okay? Small nutrition changes that can add up to big results. Cutting cream, sugar amounts in coffee. Reducing the frequency of consumption of red meat. Less processed snacks and food altogether. Adding extra fruit and veggies throughout your day. And cutting out the sauce, making sure that you're measuring sauce, picking the right sauce, reading labels for sauce, and really evaluating your situation so that you don't overconsume or have a ton of sugar with that supper meal. I want to thank you for tuning in. Of course, this is another episode of the Ron Young Show, episode 5. It's great to have you along. Of course, I'd love to hear some feedback from you. So it's theronyoungshow@gmail.com. You can go on the platforms, leave me a review, share me, tell your friend about me. I'd love to get out there into more homes, vehicles, wherever people listen to the podcast. And of course, this show can't be possible without my sponsor. I want to thank Curtis Godden for sponsoring me. He's excellent. His design work is awesome. CurtisGodden.com. Go to it. That's CurtisGaudon.com. He's got a lot of great artwork. He has a lot of design on the web. Tons of different things like that. And it's awesome to see the work that he does. We're actually working on a logo together. So thank you, Curtis. And tune in next time for another great episode of The Ron Young Show. If you want to hear a different topic on this show, I'd love to hear from you. Email me, theronyoungshow@gmail.com, and send me a topic you'd love to hear about, and I will try and include it on a future show. Thank you for listening. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. Of course, if you want more exciting content, you can always go on the social media platforms. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Please visit me, The Ron Young Show. Search it. I'll come up, and you can check out more content.